Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come together to pray and to lift each other up before the Lord in prayer, to know that we are here to encourage each other and help each other, Lord, so that we can experience your goodness, your grace, and all its fullness this day. So, Lord, we celebrate you. We praise you today. We thank you that you are such a good and gracious Father, that we can bring everything we have to you, every need that we have, every hope that we have, every concern that we have. Lord, we can lay them all at your feet, knowing that you are there to meet us. You are there to help us. You are there to sustain us. You are there to build us up. And you are there to meet our every need. So we pray for you this day, Lord. We ask you to move with might and with power in the lives of our listeners. Lord, as they lift these requests up to you, as we lift these requests up to you, Lord, that they would see your hand at work in your life and give glory to you, Lord, as they see you doing good and great things in them and through them and for them. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And we're looking at the Christmas story this week. And yesterday we talked about Joseph. Today we're going to talk about Mary. And we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. Familiar passage. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And you will be a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. All right. Well, if you're following the news, you know, you may have heard of this story. Some professor, I'm not going to give out his name because it's not worth naming. But some goofball atheist professor sent out a tweet about this story and said that the story of Mary was basically the story of an almighty God impregnating a young girl, that there's nothing in this story that in any way fulfills the definition of consent. As you can imagine, such a tweet caused an uproar, sending out this silly and ridiculous tweet. Almighty God forces a girl to have a baby. Nothing in this story even remotely fulfills the meaning of the word consent. Well, first of all, actually, if you read the end where Mary says, "May it be to me as you have said," you might want to, that tells her what's going to happen and she consents to it. But I think there's something else illustrative from this ridiculous and frankly stupid tweet. Other than, you know, the rampant stupidity and ignorance that is awash in our culture. But just the attitude, I think it highlights in a good way. I know the author of this tweet didn't intend it, an atheist, and just wanted to, you know, try to ruffle feathers and probably make a name for himself, which is why I'm not naming him, not telling what school he goes to, because why give him attention? He doesn't need it. But he does highlight somebody who does deserve some of our attention, and that is Mary. Obviously, this is troubling news. It's interesting that when the angel first appears to her, it says, an angel goes to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." This sounds like a pretty good message when Mary first hears this. "Greetings, the Lord is with you." Like, oh, that's great. I'm highly favored. God's with me. Thank you. Thank you, angel. Appreciate the news. Always nice to hear some words of affirmation. But we're told that Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. You know, it's one of those, you know, you're such a great person, and you know, uh-oh, what's coming after this? I mean, you know, somebody starts buttering you up, and you know it's just because they want to ask you a favor. It's like, uh-oh, what are they going to want me to do now? So it's Mary's kind of apprehensive, like, why am I being told this? What's going on? Why is this happening? Not to mention the fact that, you know, seeing an angel can be a pretty disquieting thing, which is why the angel has to tell her, do not be afraid, which is usually what angels have to tell people, because people see angels and they get freaked out. We always like to think angels, you know, touched by an angel, and they come, they're so nice and sweet. People see angels and it scares them, because angels are mighty and powerful and holy beings, and they're pretty intimidating. Mary's a young girl. There's a little fear, a little trouble, what's going on? You can understand the shock of this. So the angel immediately reassures her, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God, and, you know, we read that. That she'll give birth to a son, he's going to be the Messiah. It's incredible honor. Mary, of course, asks, you know, how is this possible? I'm a virgin. I'm pledged to be married, but, you know, we're not married yet. So how can this be? And the Lord, you know, the angel explains it to her. The Holy Spirit will come upon her. She'll be found with child. This is putting Mary in a very difficult situation. How is she going to explain this to Joseph? How is she going to explain this to her parents? How is she going to explain this to her friends? The community. Everybody knows that virgins don't get pregnant. And if you get pregnant, it's because you're probably not a virgin anymore. And in that day and age, you know, today that may be commonplace, but in that day and age, that was scandalous. That remains scandalous. That was an outrage. You get thrown out of the family for stuff like that. Banished from the village. Worse. You're certainly going to walk around with a stigma and a tattered reputation. Not to mention what's going to happen when Joseph finds out. How's she going to explain this to him? Is he going to break things off with her? In one sense, in this ignorant and foolish tweet that was sent out by this ignorant and foolish professor, in one sense, I don't want to say there's a shred of truth to it, but there is the reality that God has placed Mary in a very difficult position. There's no doubt about that. There's no getting around that. God has put Mary in a place that is not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. Her life is going to get a lot harder and not necessarily better, at least in the short term. In fact, I think we can confidently say her life got worse in the short term. Because, you know, coming up with stories saying, well, this angel came. Yeah, right. Whatever. Who are you messing around with? Come on. Tell the truth. Stop making up these crazy stories. Nobody believes you. This is insane. And all the whispers and the rumors and the gossip and all the probably cruel things that were said about her. You know, we don't get those things, but you know they were there because people are people and we haven't changed. And even if her immediate family, we know, you know, the angel comes and tells Joseph. So Joseph knows. Joseph's reassured, which I'm sure is a great help to her. We talked about the rough days he probably had before that happened. But he's been reassured, so he's on board with her, and she goes to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth knows what's going on, because she's had her own special encounter, and so, you know, she does have a support system, she's not left alone, God doesn't abandon her, but, you know, there's a lot of other people that aren't necessarily in on it, so to speak. They're not buying the story of angel visitations, and they're figuring, you know, either, you know, her and Joseph things got out of hand one night, or she was fooling around on him, or whatever, but all of it was bad. And their reputations were besmirched. So Mary is put in a very hard and difficult position. She is not unaware of this, and when the angel's talking to her, all of this has to be running through her head. How am I going to explain this? What are people going to say? What's going to happen? How will Joseph respond? What am I going to do? You got to believe all these thoughts are running immediately through her head. This is a troubling message. On the one hand, it's like, wow, an amazing message. On the other hand, it is deeply troubling. And yet, what is her response? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I'm the Lord's servant. If this is what he desires of me, then this is what I do. And if it's hard, if it's difficult, if it involves some personal humiliation, some embarrassment, some people talking bad about me, so be it. If it's going to put me some rough days, okay. If fulfilling his will and purpose for me is going to put me in awkward situations, make me have bad, awkward conversations, okay. If I may be cast out and shunned by some, okay. I am the Lord's servant. If this is what he requires of me, then this is what I will do. May it be to me as you have said. started that tweet to highlight the attitude that we have today in this culture. The attitude of me first. Only what I care about. The idea that I might have to sacrifice for someone else, that I might have to suffer for someone else, that I might have to give up something for something else, that I might have to face difficulty for someone else, is seen as wrong. Not just as undesirable, but as wrong. How dare he put her in this position? How dare he? How dare? Nobody has authority over us. Nobody can tell us. Nobody has the right to do this and that to us. But Mary doesn't say, by what right does God do this? By what right? I didn't ask to be chosen. By what right is he doing this? Who is he to tell me what to do? Who is he to do this to me? Who is he? Nope. I am the Lord's servant. This is what he chooses. This is what he chooses. If this is what I need to do, then this is what I need to do. And in both Mary and yesterday, as we talked about Joseph, what we see is a humble and obedient heart. Why did God choose these two people? Why did he entrust his son to them? And I think in their response to these angelic visits, both of them show their hearts and their character. They were humble servants of the Lord and were living their lives to please him. Not for themselves, but for God. Not to do their will, but to do his will. And even if that meant, even if his will meant hardship, difficulty, trial, suffering, inconvenience, shame, embarrassment. Okay, it's a small price to pay for the greater work that God is doing. We are privileged to be a part of his work of redeeming the world. He's going to bring the Messiah through us and use us to raise him into what an incredible honor and privilege. I'm telling you, they didn't expect this for their lives. I'm not sure they were growing up thinking, yeah, someday I'm going to be, you know, father, parents of the Messiah. That's what probably what we'll do. Get married, God will come. Bring his son into the world through us. Be known throughout history. Yeah, pretty much that's where it's going to go for us. You know, they were expecting their lives to go like everybody else's. Calmly, quietly, anonymously. Get married, have some kids. Work as a carpenter, enjoy their time together as a family. Go to the temple. Serve the Lord, die. And pass out of history completely unnoticed. And then God shows up and turns everything upside down, throws their lives into turmoil, but also brings them in on the great work of redemption and includes them, two just common, ordinary people, to be a part of his amazing, earth-shattering, universe-changing work. Because they had the greatest qualifications of all. They were humble servants wanting to please the Lord. May it be to me as you have said, I am the Lord's servant. What's the greatest talent, gift, ability that we can have? The ability to say, I am the Lord's servant. If we give that to God, he will do amazing things through it. Maybe we can make that our gift to him this year.